I see a shootout. Can't make a pick. I see a shootout. I'll let Lee make the pick. A lot of points, in my opinion.
Hey,
I can't make
Missouri.
The pick.
Look at that, Missouri. You can't beat that great Kansas team. No way. What? Give me that helmet.
Uh-oh.
Yes. Yes, Missouri. You get up. No chance. No chance.
Cheers on the left. Boos on the right.
Show. It is October 9th, Wednesday evening here in beautiful downtown Columbia, Missouri. And we have one of those, if you've ever been to Columbia, if you've ever been out here, it was one of those sunsets tonight, man. Just one of those sunsets. You've got colors, you've got the glow, and maybe it's that homecoming glow that we're feeling right now. Maybe that's what it is. Because this weekend is the biggest weekend of the year. If you're a member of that Mizzou Mafia, if you're a former Tiger, if you're a current Tiger, you all know what homecoming means. And I think there's no better place to talk about homecoming than the company that you're going to have during the weekend. And to be honest, homecoming weekend is a who's who of Missouri legends. Okay, it's like looking at the Coachella listing and the lineup and seeing, oh my God, they're going to be back. They're going to be back. Yo, they're making an appearance for the first time ever. And we have all of that and some more. And one of those lovely people on the list, on the lineup, on the call sheet is none other than Uncle Luke Domas.
Wow.
How we doing,
I've
champ?
Got chills. You've been getting better at these intros. I mean, you were pretty good to start with, but... holy cow, is that... I don't know if the chills are coming from Zach LaVine just driving down the lane and dunking on the Pelicans, or if it was that intro, but both are... got me juiced up, and it's been a long day, I'll tell you that. It's been quite a crazy hump day for me, Bo, but I'm using my last ounces of energy here for this podcast, and I'm excited to get into it, buddy.
I am never going to complain about the work that we get to do, because it is so fun. But, you know, Uncle Luke, I'm not far behind you, brother. Two classes today. I've already cranked out two interviews for the podcast. Talked to Andrew Zolden, talked to Lil Brown's football. Talked to Dylan Flashner about some pro wrestling. And just the entire landscape of wrestling right now is just so wild and so fun to talk about. But, I don't know. Zach LaVine going baseline.
Yeah, I told you this was going to be the most comfortable podcast I've ever recorded. Just hanging out on my couch, and we've got this system down so well that it's like, you know, we're chilling on a Wednesday night in Como, just talking sports, hanging out like we always used to.
You are 48 hours away from the return to the promised land of Columbia, Missouri. And our Tigers are taking on Ole Miss. And not just Ole Miss, but friend of the show's, Jay Bird, Ole Miss. Jay Bird is a lifelong Ole Miss fan. We've got Jay Bird coming to Columbia this weekend. We have Jay Bird's lifelong friend and local San Diego, Southern California legend. Let me repeat that, legend. Bill coming to Columbia, Missouri, and we have the prodigy, the protege, the greatest in the line of family generations. Big Phil is going to be making his Columbia, Missouri debut this weekend. And I am so excited. This is everything. This is California, Midwest, Mizzou, all of it coming together in one weekend. And it's all about the Missouri Tigers playing.
Holy
cow.
I mean, first of all, I got to start with just Bill. His name, you didn't say anything else, just Bill. That's it? That's Bill.
Bill.
That's all we're going with for that guy? I can't wait to meet this character.
That is, If you know Bill, you know him.
That's
as
it. Nothing
Bill,
else.
Okay. There's nothing else to really be said of it. I'm telling you, he is a San Diego. He is a local Southern California legend, bro. I promise you, you're gonna meet him. He's the best. You're gonna have an absolute blast with him. But Uncle Luke, we're here to talk about Missouri.
Yes,
football.
We are.
And this has been. This is a pretty odd year for our Missouri Tigers. There's no other way to put it. Bizarre, odd, unique. And I think that a good place to start is the reputation that the team has on campus. I think that generally gives a pretty good pulse of the team and their reception. Would you believe
I would agree.
To
and
say,
to be quite honest with you, when isn't a Mizzou football season the last 6 years now not weird, unique, all over the place? You know, we're, 1 week we're calling, you know, for Barry's head, the next week we're crowning the team. You know, when isn't it like this? But I agree 100%. There is no better, you know, temperature to take than the one that's on campus. So I 100% agree with you.
Uncle Luke, we've been covering or talking about, I don't want to say covering because that's not the right word. We're not reporters. We don't know the roster inside and out, I would say, as the Missouri football insiders do. But we've been talking about this team now, what, 3 years? And really it started with the Barry Odom era for us. And we've kind of been on top a lot of the topics. And whether it was wanting to fire Barry Odom early, and we were saying, hold up, don't do anything, you know, brazy yet. Let's slow our roll and consider what this man can do. And I think that's been proven to be pretty successful so far. We were all over Kelly Bryant getting to the Zoo. We were all over Mizzou allowing alcohol into games, which happened this year for the first time. So we've kind of had a pretty decent read on the team. And you want to talk about the perception of the team here on campus. I got
talk
a story for you, Uncle Luke, okay? I'm walking through campus, and this is the Monday following Missouri's week one loss to Wyoming after they blow a 14-0 lead in the first quarter, okay? I'm walking through campus, and I'm trying to keep a pretty level head. I think there was a lot of irrational thinking
going on. You're telling me.
We're going to get into the irrational thinking of Missouri fans, but I want to start with this anecdote here. I'm walking through campus. I'm on the phone with my sister. I'm walking through the Arts and Science Center, and eventually I get to Speaker Circle. And when I'm at Speaker Circle, it's where I see four hooligans, okay, just absolute nut jobs, and they have to be freshmen. They have to be freshmen. And they're holding up a sign that says, Fire Barry Odom. And they're holding a petition for people to come by and sign it. And I'm walking through, I'm on the phone with my sister, and they go, would you like to sign this petition to get Barry Odom fired? I said, you guys are so stupid. You guys are idiots. Honestly, I said it to them. They are idiots. And it's so funny to look back on that. And that is a microcosm of Missouri football fandom as a whole. Because I know we've talked about the conversations. And listen, another good friend of the show, King Goon, Daniel Schmidt in the Talking Schmidt podcast, as much as I love him and the passion is so admirable, these guys are lunatics. There's no sense of, there's no common sense. That's exactly, there's no common sense when it comes to this team. And I know you, because you know football even better than I do, and it just drives you
Yeah, and
crazy.
Don't get me wrong. Like, frustration, anger, unhappiness regarding the Wyoming game, totally agree. I was in the same boat. I was frustrated, especially that start. You know, much was made about the, oh, it's the highest elevation stadium in America, you know, or in college football. Oh, it's Wyoming. It's a different and odd way to start your season. Like, all those things were well known going into this game. And the boys came out and they played well the first quarter. They dominated both sides of the ball. Kelly Bryant looked spectacular in that first quarter. And it was like, oh, okay, we're as good as we just talked about for the last offseason. Like, holy cow, like, we're controlling the line of scrimmage. The defense looks new and improved. And then, of course, the next, you know, 40 minutes happen, and you're thinking, oh, God, you know, What were we thinking getting ourselves into this? So don't get me wrong. The irrational thinking, or I wouldn't say the irrational, I'd say the gut reactions of frustration and anger, 100% warranted. But to call, like, I mean, you know, as well as me, I follow enough people on Mizzou to get a good, you know, read on what everyone's feeling or the people that I surround myself with. And I try to follow as many different perspectives, especially sports and other areas, as possible. But it was like you're 100% correct. It was fire Barry Odom. Start this over. Mizzou is never going to change. We're never going to be different. We're always going to be this team that builds up, only to be let down immediately. Look, they responded the way you would want to respond. If you looked at our schedule heading into week six, I'd go, Bo, 4-1. 4-1. How many people would take it? A lot of people would be like, well, where's the loss coming from? I'm just like, no. 4-1. Do you take it?
Of course you take it. Of course you take it. Now, unfortunately, here's my thing when it, you know, in regards to the pulse of the fandom and the pulse of the city right now and the pulse of the campus, is that game one is really important.
Absolutely.
In setting a tone. And if I had been able to choose any of the games to not lose, and I know Troy's bad, I know SEMO's bad, Wyoming is one of the better teams of the teams that we've played, I just really, really would not have liked, or I really would have liked to have not lost week one and lost a good portion of the fan base who said, oh, it's the same old Mizzou again, and you know nothing's going to be different this year. But if you look past week one, well, things are different. Things are absolutely different right now, and we have a chance to really legitimately compete in our division. And you know, I know that there's bull band rumors, and today, more than others, I guess people think that we're going to be getting notice here in the next week or two. I've been told that there's no truth
yep.
to any of those rumors. But there is a lot of importance to week one. And at the same time as I say that, oh my God, how long ago does week one feel
months.
Like?
It feels like months.
The defense on this team has been the absolute catalyst. And I think that that's probably my first talking
okay.
point here, Uncle Luke, is this defense, okay? It is turnover after turnover after turnover. And they, perhaps the most important thing about what this defense is doing is giving the offense chances to succeed. So I have a statistic here for you, Uncle Luke. Mizzou's defense, over the last 4 weeks, I believe, they have scored 35 points. They have allowed only 31 points. At the same time, in four straight games, this team has at least 3 sacks on the defensive side of the ball. Listen, if the defense is going to play as well as they have been, there is no reason that we should be out of any game.
You're 100% correct. And to go back to week one, how many people were complaining about how, oh, this is Barry Odom's defense, or if this is Barry Odom's team and he's been a defensive coordinator his entire career, why haven't we been better? And don't get me wrong, the last few years, that's been warranted. The defense hasn't been up to par. Our offense has had to score a whole lot of points just to keep us in games the last 3 years, or basically the entire Barry Odom era. And after week one, people were saying the same thing. When is it going to get better in the defensive end? Here's your answer. The second team in the country in total defense. The second unit, pass defense unit in the country. Third in yards per play allowed. I mean, they're 10th in scoring defense. I get it. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of people out there who listen to saying, look, we played Troy. We played a down year West Virginia team. We played South Carolina against their backup quarterbacks. I get it. But at the same time, you still have to produce. You still have to show up in the stadium, which it hasn't been, you know, a raucous environment. You know, I think West Virginia was probably the most packed game of the year this year so far. Like, and it wasn't all the way full. So, like, they're walking into territory where they, you know, we should probably be filling up the stadium a little bit more, but it doesn't matter. They're contributing on both sides of the ball, but it's specifically defense. You're 100% correct. We could be, you know, it's crazy to think about the defense being the catalyst. Am I wrong thinking that way? That we can rely on our defense to either A, hold opponents under a certain, you know, point total, or we can just grab turnovers whenever we're not opportunistic as it gets. So, I mean, I feel extremely confident in this defense, but we can't go any further without talking about the biggest loss of the last 3 years to this defense.
And, you know, Uncle Luke, I think it is a really interesting place to go. Obviously, this week we get the news that Cale Garrett's going to be out the remainder of the season with a left pectoral torn muscle. If you weren't watching or you don't know, yeah, he finished out the game after doing that, I believe, in the first quarter. I believe he followed that up with two interceptions, one of them which was a pick six. The other, just happened to go to the one-yard line. Listen, and Uncle Luke, we said it before the season. We've said it to each other so many times. He is the captain. He is Captain America. He's been the leader, the heart and soul of this defense. And for the first time, which is so unique for Mizzou football, is that the best part of our defense is not the defensive line. This is not defensive line's do anymore, really. This is just pure domination. Cale Garrett's been a big part of that. Uncle Luke, I guess I'll ask you the very generic, brand disgusting question. Who has to pick it up?
Well, it's interesting you asked that question, because of all the craziest statistics, I think that you could deep dive into this Mizzou defense, and it's quite like insane if you really go into the analytics of it, and the people who dive into those analytics and you know, try and figure out, okay, how good is this defense? Oh, this is my favorite stat: the two highest rated linebackers in the SEC.
The two highest rated linebackers
from PFF, which is Pro Football Focus, but they also have a college account as well, which by far the most trusted source for individual player rating system that they have. The two highest rated linebackers in the SEC. The SEC pumps out more NFL products from the linebackers position than pretty much the rest of the country. I mean, it is the conference of linebackers. Alabama, LSU, you could go on and on in that conference. Georgia. And we have the two highest rated linebackers. Now, to answer your question, who steps in? Well, the number one rated linebacker in the conference, which is sophomore Nick Bolton, who had a fantastic game at West Virginia that I was able to see. He is a sophomore, but he's going to have to step in. Nick Bolton is going to have to, you know, become the body. If Cale Garrett can stand on the sideline and still, you know, be able to talk to these guys through games and be able to help them out with assignments and breaking down offenses and their reads, that's great. But Nick Bolton's going to have to be the guy in the field that picks up the pace for them. And he's going to be put in more spots. You know, when we go into dime and nickel packages and we only have one or two linebackers on the field, it used to be Cale Garrett. Now it's going to have to be Nick Bolton. He really has to step up as a sophomore. He was the understudy for Cale Garrett the past couple of years, and now he's going to have to be the guy. And obviously the two backup middle linebackers in Jamal Brooks and Cam Wilkins are going to have to step up as well, but it's going to have to be a team effort. As cliche as it sounds, you know, I think our secondary is a little bit stronger than in years past. We're a little bit deeper in that end of the field. The defensive line is going to have to get bigger pushes because we're just not going to be able to rely on. And I think the best thing about Cale Garrett, who by any stretch of the imagination was on an All-American pace this year, I don't think anybody is going to disagree with that. He just made tackles. And I think, like, on defenses, you just need guys like that. If you want to go to the NFL, Luke Kuechly, Bobby Wagner, like, those guys, all they do is just make tackles. Could they be better in coverage? Sure. Could they be better in the pass rush? Sure. But at the end of the day, you just need a guy who makes tackles play after play after play. And that is exactly what Cale Garrett was. He was end zone to end zone, sideline to sideline. He was all over the place every single minute of the game on the defensive end. So I don't think we're ever going to really have, like, we're never going to replace that type of production because it's just on the torrid pace of how well he was playing. But Nick Bolton, Jamal Brooks, and Cam Wilkins, they're going to have to carry the load together just to fill the one guy's shoes. It's going to be interesting to watch, especially, you know, this wasn't just, you know, we're going into SEC play now. We got rid of all the walkthroughs on our schedule. We're now headed into the thick of the schedule, bro.
We're going into the jungle. Uncle Luke, I want to touch back on that statistic regarding the two highest graded linebackers in the SEC by Pro Football Focus here, okay? Because it is really remarkable, the fact that Nick Bolton and Cale Garrett come in at number one and number two in what is just an absolute monster lineup of beasts, right? Like, these are the best of the best, the elite of the elite. And so I want to run these numbers by you in terms of their grade, because I think this is almost even more interesting, is just how dominant of a number one and number two they have been. Patrick Queen from LSU comes in at number five. He has a grade of 78.2. Then Trell Miller from Florida, 79.1. KJ Britt from Auburn, I'm sure plenty of people have been catching him play, 83.2. Okay, so all relatively close, right? 78 to 83 is where our number five to number three slots fill in. At number two is Cale Garrett with a grade of 89. Okay, so not is he just second in the nation. He is beating the remainder of the field by an extra 6 points. Nick Bolton ahead of him by another point, 2.5 points at 91.5. These guys aren't just the best one and two. They are the clear, leading, far and away best one and two in this monstrous behemoth of a conference. So to talk about Cale Garrett's impact and what we're going to be missing from him cannot really be understated. Okay, but here's a suggestion for who needs to fill the role of Cale Garrett. How about the Missouri offense? I agree.
Very much agree. Yep.
Right? Because the defense is only going to do so much. We're already relying too heavily on this Mizzou defense. To get 35 points over the last four games, we can't bank on that. That is an unrealistic expectation from our defense. The Missouri offense obviously needs to be somewhat more consistent. You know, we've always seen this with Derek.
Yeah, do it.
Here's my Alec Lewis impression of Derek Dooley. Okay, so give me 1 second. This is a double impression inception. Derek Dooley in that offense, Derek Dooley likes to set, you know, get the ball running going early, and then in the second half kind of open things up. We're not going to really be able to have the luxury of this defense anymore. The offense is going to have to be way more quick to the point and get things going early. We don't have the time to get a run established, or at least the pressure is going to be building more to get the run established even earlier and earlier and earlier. The Missouri offense is going to have to wake up. I think a big part of this offense, and fingers crossed that it works out the rest of the season, because it's working right now, is the health, consistency, and showing up of our buddy.
You're correct. Without a doubt. And to kind of hop off of that point about the offense, you know, it's been inconsistent at times this year. I think definitely in the South Carolina game, you could easily be frustrated by that performance. And I guess at times we were kind of slow against Troy. To go back to that point about Albert O, it's going to be more imperative that we get him going in SEC play than any other point this year, because he's such a mismatch issue that we've grown such accustomed to the last 4 years. It's like, why aren't we just throwing Albert O the ball every single play like we used to? You know what I mean? Like, but to kind of piggyback off that, we have so many other weapons to get involved in the offense. And we have some dudes. I mean, I love Jalen Knox. I love Cam Scott. I love Jonathan Nance. Obvious.
Jonathan Nance is
just kind of got him off of Arkansas's back. Just was like, hey, Kelly's coming here, would you like to come with? And he was totally on board with it. So that was a huge pickup as well. We have dudes on the outside there. You're going to be able to compete against the best secondaries in the SEC that are coming up here. Not Ole Miss and Vanderbilt, but you know who I'm speaking of, the latter of the next 2 weeks. I think more so than anything, we got to establish the run, as you were noting too. And I think this week we're not going to be able to run, you know, a lot of options with Kelly's knee not being 100% and not going to be able to rely on his ability to scramble and move around the pocket like he's really good at doing. So I think the most important thing is to get Roundtree the ball and get those guys moving up and down vertically in the offense. None of this, you know, side-to-side stuff. We just got to put our heels in the ground or our feet in the ground and just get moving offensively. And I think the more we are able to keep the defense off the field and give them a little bit of extra rest and a little bit more of a breather, because you're like you've said, it's so unrealistic to expect this type of turnover rate, this type of scoring rate defensively, to keep up, especially when you get into the Novembers of Georgia and Florida that are on the horizon here. But got to take it one game at a time. We got to beat this Ole Miss team. We got to beat them bad.
There is a word or there is a characteristic or there is a trait, okay, that I think that if the Missouri Tigers both offensively and defensively adapt and incorporate, that they will be able to overcome whatever it is that comes their way in the following weeks with Cale Garrett. Timing. If they are able to make big plays on the right play at the right time, and if they're able to pound the ball and run the ball and get first downs when they need the first downs, they can overcome it. Mizzou ranks 12th nationally in third down defense, limiting opponents to just 5 of 34 on third downs over the last couple games. Mizzou and Clemson, the only two teams in the nation to rank in the top 20 nationally in both first down offense.
How wild is it to hear that? Just to hear yourself say that. Mizzou, Clemson, and defense.
Speechless. And you, by the way Missouri fans are reacting, you would never think it.
I mean, people were ready. It was like, Barry's never going to have a good defense as the head coach. Never going to happen. It's just literally happening before their eyes. I preached patience as much as I could after week one. Don't get me wrong. I was frustrated. But this team is talented. And I think nationally, you're beginning to see it a lot more. We're the 26th ranked team in the nation. That doesn't mean anything. But I also take the AP polls with a grain of salt these days because there are so many different metrics and ways these teams are ranked. The ESPN SP Plus, which is like their most analytical college football ranking system that kind of coincides with how the committee of the college football playoff thinks, we're 10th. 10th. I can name all these Power 5 schools that are behind Missouri. We're 10th. It's Georgia, Florida. It's all those teams, Ohio State, Bama, Clemson. And, you know, at the 10th spot, it's the Missouri Tigers. And I think, you know, I don't want to the reason why I don't want to drink as much as the Kool-Aid as I know I already am right now is because our schedule has
I'm Uncle Luke. I'm hammered.
Don't get me wrong, but at the same time, I like each week I keep like kind of reeling myself back. Like after we kind of broke away from South Carolina, I was like, all right, take a deep breath. You know, Troy, SEMO, you know, we're gonna take care of business. We're gonna head into homecoming 4-1. I'm confident. Okay, but just to, week after week, not be still ranked in the AP poll, which I think, you know, we take care of business this week. We absolutely will be, but just the very idea that we're up there with these teams, I think a lot of people are beginning to think in the Mizzou fan base, and obviously you have a better read on the campus than I do just from location standpoint. But what I'm starting to feel is like, okay, building momentum, how a program should be. I think Barry's, you know, he's got to take this momentum. He's got to keep moving forward, got to keep moving forward. But ultimately this game above anything else just feels like a trap game to me. And I know trap game is a cliche to say, but this is such a game where everyone's feeling very confident going into it, and then all of a sudden it turns into a dogfight. And then that's where the pessimism of being a Mizzou fan comes into play, where one bad thing happens and everyone kind of gets that twitch reaction. You know what I mean? It's like a zombie when a zombie hears noise, you know, or hears a human flesh around. They get that twitch of like, oh, God, here we go again. And I think this game has the potential to be that because we do not have our heart and soul on the field. You know, Kelly Bryant, I think if you had to, let me ask you, Kelly Bryant or Cale Garrett out for the year, which one are you choosing?
I mean, I'm choosing Cale Garrett because the quarterback's the most important position in all of football, but I'm not sure that necessarily diminishes what I think of Cale Garrett's injury to this team.
And the reason why I ask that is because we lose one leader, we're going to have to gain one. And I think this is really a great moment for Kelly Bryant to step in and be like, all right, guys, you know, I'm not 100%, but I'm out here. You know, I think a lot of people after that Wyoming game were already ready to be like, why isn't Kelly Bryant laying on the line like he should be for us? Is he already thinking about the NFL? Is he just giving this a one-year, you know, rodeo and then I'm out, headed to the NFL? Like, to me, this is a perfect moment for Kelly Bryant to step in front of the team and be like, look, we lost our voice. The guy who's been with this program, especially in the darkest of times of 2016 and, you know, 2017 as well. But I think it is so imperative that Kelly Bryant steps in and goes, look, I'm hurt, y'all. Where's the Ed Reed soundbite? I'm hurt, y'all. I'm hurt. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I need that sort of leadership out of Kelly Bryant to really to command the room. And I know he's voted a captain for a reason, to command the room and be like, look, guys, you know, offense, we got to take care of the load a little bit more. We got to hold our end of the bargain a little bit. But I think this is a perfect moment for Kelly Bryant to assert himself as someone who could end up being a Mizzou legend. You know, if we're 6-1, I want to say big if, but you know, if all things go according to plan heading into Georgia, we're 6-1 going into Georgia. Like, anything can happen on the road. I know it's Georgia; they're one of the best teams in the country, but those are the games you play for. Those are the games you play all the cakewalks and everything, so that when you get to that game, you're ready. And that's the reason why you brought Kelly Bryant in the first place, because there's one human being who's not going to be afraid of that environment. It's your quarterback, Kelly Bryant.
One of the people that I think might be able to assist and wherever the team lacks, it might be Rashad Floyd. Rashad Floyd has a chance. Now, he's had a really good start to the season. He's our punt returner. I think he plays some defensive back as well,
yep.
If I'm correct. If he continues to play like he is, he's the kind of guy that could make up for a lot of the areas that the rest of the team lacks. He's such a freak athlete, just an absolute playmaker. He's the kind of guy that could make up for a bad play, a bad interception, a bad fumble, unlucky, whatever it may be. He's that kind of guy who can step up and make just such a wildly athletic playmaking maneuver, put you 6 on the board really fast. If he has those kind of X-factor plays, he might be able to help out this team. Uncle Luke, we are about 12 hours away from the announcement of which jerseys our Missouri Tigers will be wearing.
This shit's important to us. This shit is important.
Uncle Luke, give it to me, baby. Give me your first round draft pick. I want a full up to down NBA 2K stylization of what you would like to see
Saturday.
Okay,
so you obviously have to go back and think about what we've worn, and it's all been pretty traditional so far. I think maybe the most, I wouldn't say outrageous, but maybe the most different jersey so far was West Virginia with the white helmet, white pants, and black jersey. I want to say, you know, night game, I want to lean all black and maybe a little bit something special with like the block M. It's got to be, I mean, for sure our helmet's going to have the block M and the new stripe in some capacity. Like, I am almost certain we're going to get something like that. I would be surprised if we didn't, just because it's the block M, it's tradition, it's the most classic Missouri look. So I think that's what we're getting in the helmet. I'm leaning black, but I have a feeling we're going to go like yellow helmet. I don't want them to mess this up. You know, there are different games where you go crazy with, especially later on in the year. You know, like when we're home against Tennessee. Are we home or away against Tennessee? I think we're home. I'm going to say we're home.
Good question. It's always the Thanksgiving game, and no one's ever here for it. I believe it's at Missouri.
I think if that Florida game becomes extremely important, whether, you know, the miracle happens and we do beat Georgia between the hedges, or say Georgia loses, like, you can't rule out that. I think we're gonna go a little bit more traditional. I would love to see them go all black with the block M in some capacity. But I just kind of have a weird feeling we're gonna kind of go a little outrageous for this. I want to see them, you know, keep it a little more traditional for homecoming. That's just me, though. What do you think?
I'm not exactly sure what to expect. I agree with you. I think there's going to be some kind of wrinkle in the uniform, but I don't think that they're going to stray too far from a very traditional homecoming look. I will say, come later in the season, I have a rule when it comes to jerseys. I love all white.
Yeah.
I love it. White helmet, white pants, white jersey. Love it. You look fast. You look mean. You look scared. I just love all white. My only rule about all white, though, is you can't use it until there is snow on
the ground. Mid-Missouri, slight chance. I don't know. I think we'll wear all white at Georgia. I almost for certain think we'll wear all white. Look, all white makes it feel fast. I think all black makes it feel invincible. And this is coming from experience, man. I was not the fastest human being on the football field at any point in my life. The white made me feel a little bit more you know, quicker. Yeah, you know, I was getting
a little extra
exactly.
juice in the step, a little more speed in the, a little more wind
exactly.
in the air. As
I'm getting out of my
sideline.
Routes a little quicker, but there's something about being home wearing all black. If black is one of your primary colors, which it is at Mizzou, that, you know, night game, walking in wearing all black, I think that's an intimidating look. And look, this Ole Miss team, they're in a transition year. They're not a very good team. We can absolutely just put the foot on the gas pedal and just run over these guys and make this game, you know, a blowout early if we have the right mindset going into it.
Uncle Luke, I have a two-part question for you, and this is the last question of the day,
right.
And we're wrapping up, all right? I want a football prediction for Saturday, and then I want a non-football prediction
okay.
for this weekend.
I'm going to add the third part onto it because I already got my bets locked in on this game as well.
All right, beautiful.
So I'll start with the gambling side of it. I do actually think we're going to cover -8.5. I know I said earlier that this game kind of does sketch me out, and it does, but I think 8.5 is a little too much respect towards Ole Miss. It sketches me out only
because,
you know, that's just the Mizzou pessimism in me. But 8.5, I mean, I expect us to win by 2 touchdowns pretty comfortably. I think that kind of gives you a better idea. I think I also like the over because I do think the defense maybe, you know, loses a little bit just with Kale. Communication issues may not be, you know, maybe something to keep an eye on Saturday as well. A prediction off the field. Holy cow. You know, one of my favorite things about the opening was the Coachella list metaphor that you gave. You know, who the hell's walking into Harpo's on Friday night next? That sort of that vibe that you're giving me.
It is Friday night at Harpo's or Saturday, whenever it is, okay? Whenever the big moment happens, the big homecoming moment happens, right? Whenever it is, and I think it will be Friday night. Whenever it is, though, it is going to feel like a WWE show where one guy's going to walk in and be like, holy shit, it's Uncle Luke. What
right.
the hell is he doing here? And then, like, 2 minutes later after Uncle Luke, like, buys a round, right, for the people that are there, and then it's going to be RP. And it's RP walking in with, you know, just a nice strut. He's feeling good, whatever it may be. Then RP gets the round. And then it's going to be Big Phil from the top rope out of nowhere. Sam Rossi, Matt Lobert, all
no
making
way.
Their way back to
no
Columbia,
way.
Missouri. It's going to be rowdy as all hell. I am so excited for it. I'm excited to see you, brother. Can't wait to watch. Can't wait to chat it up. This is going to be a hell.
Yeah, I mean, I 100% agree. And it feels like there's just going to be a ton of people that I haven't seen in a long time. You know, as I was there for homecoming last year because I was still at school, but to see the people that came back, awesome. You know, we're 2 years removed now. So, you know, there's a lot of people I have not seen in 2 years. So I know I was there on Labor Day. So me and my buddies in our friend group, I texted us. I was like, look, we came to Mizzou on Labor Day for West Virginia to get the boys back on track after the Wyoming loss. We came to get the boys back on track. Now we're coming back for homecoming to get the boys ranked. And that is the absolute all-business attitude heading into this weekend. I'll tell you what. I'm probably going to have like 5 beers if I go to the game. I probably will. Like, I mean, you know, that's like $70 worth of beer. Because they do really, you know, price it up at Faro now, but I'm going to get absolutely obliterated at the game. And I know, you know, my parents, they're listening to this, they could probably give a shit, but I mean, I could be acting a fool by the third quarter if we're up 3 or 4 scores and I'm just betting, like, you know, props, live props, like Mizzou to get a turnover plus 700. I could be acting a fool, Bo, in the stands. So, you know, maybe Uncle Luke gets himself kicked out. Hopefully not. But, you know, we do have a history within my friend group of issues at Faro when it gets a little too much liquid in the system, if you know what I mean.
Can't wait. Can't wait. Can't wait. Bart Scott. Yeah, Uncle Luke, this should be just a great weekend. Listen, I don't even know what worst case scenario
Who cares?
Is for this
weekend. Homecoming.
But I don't care. I really don't care. Whatever worse, I'm ready. Bring it on, okay? I'm ready to just eat some punches this weekend. I fully expect to go 12 rounds. If they want to go 12 rounds,
it's just an overall. Uncle sorry Luke. To cut you off there, buddy, but it's. I mean, the Cardinals are going to be playing in the NLCS this weekend. Look, you and I certainly are not Cardinals fans, and if the Dodgers do end up winning tonight as well, I mean, Cardinals Dodgers is about as, you know, shrug like, oh boy, you know, which road do I really want to take here?
It's easier, a little Absolutely. Easier for me.
Correct,
than I think
but
it is
but it's for the opposite reason, obviously. But you know, even that, like, it still adds a different dimension of the energy that town's going to have. And I mean, you know, people talk about homecoming in college all the time. You just don't understand it until you go to Mizzou for a homecoming weekend. It's just different.
It's different. It's
totally different.
It's just different. I don't know if that should be the name of this episode. It kind of feels like it should. It's just different here, man. And like you said, you cannot explain it until they come and experience it for themselves. It is a rowdy weekend. It is full of electricity, full of energy. And I cannot wait to get this
before you
going.
Go,
Uncle Luke.
I want to hold you to it.
Okay.
Give me a score. Give me a prediction on Saturday as well.
All right. Prediction.
Could be in any capacity.
31-17
like
Tigers.
14 points, just like I said. All right. I dig it. All right, buddy.
There you
take
have
us
it,
home.
Brother. Uncle Luke, as the Rock says in Fast Five,
I'll see you soon.
I'll see you soon. No, we just got done recapping. I mean, Mizzou football has been really interesting this year. Great conversation with Uncle Luke. We've hyped up homecoming as much as you possibly can. We've got a Coachella lineup coming into town this weekend, a who's who, an absolute A-list celebrity just showing an extravaganza that is to be. And I would say, Uncle Luke, that there is nothing left to do. But let's go home, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm coming home, baby.
Let's go home. Let's go home, ladies and gentlemen.